morning, please turn with me to the book of Mark. Mark chapter 4 this morning. So we're preaching through the Bible, going Old Testament, New Testament, each Sunday morning, back and forth. We find ourselves in the book of Mark. Mark chapter 4 this morning. We'll be looking at verses 35 through verse 41 this morning. Let's set the stage for this as we get into this. It's been a long day for our Lord. If you recall, you go back to Mark chapter 3, you see some of the circumstances. You see where he was confronted by the Pharisees. You see some of the things that were going on. Some even tried to kidnap and all the different things that were taking place and happening. Jesus taught on the parables. And during this time, Jesus sat in a boat off the shore of Sea Galilee that he used as a pulpit many times to preach and to teach. When the darkness came, they were making their way, Jesus and the disciples, across. And we know what the event took place. There was a storm that took place. Now, it is not unusual for these men to be on the Sea of Galilee in the evening. They were fishermen. It was common for them to be during this time. Now, this is interesting as we look at the Sea of Galilee, we look at the event that takes place. I want us to first understand something this morning. God is the one who is able to calm the storm. God is the one who is able to calm the storm. Now, in our lives, many have gone through some difficult times. Many has gone through some storms of life. And as we're going through these storms, we're going to look at this storm. We're going to talk about some aspects of this storm and how it relates to us. But then I want us to get to that place till we see who can calm that storm. Every one of us are either in a storm, been through a storm, or we're headed to a storm. Isn't that very encouraging this morning? But how true it is. Every one of us has been in a storm. We've been just got through a storm, or we're headed to a storm. Have you ever found how interesting things are? Sometimes everything seems to be going so well, and then all of a sudden something just takes place and happens and changes everything. Have we not seen this in our country? Have we not seen this recently of everything, all the events that have taken place? Please stand with me if you're able to. Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through verse 41. Mark chapter 4, starting in verse 35. And the same day, when the evening was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose, and he rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Heavenly Father, we love you. And Lord, we ask as we look at this portion of Scripture this morning that you would encourage our hearts to trust in you. And Lord, that you would calm the seas in our lives. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. You may be seated. I want us to look at verse 37. We'll come back to the other verses in a few moments. But verse 37 says, "And there was a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full." I want us to look at the power of the storm. The power of the storm. As we're looking at the storm, as we're looking at the situation that we're facing, I want to see the power of the storm. Now, those that have been to Israel, we've had the opportunity to see the Sea of Galilee. We've had the opportunity to be on the Sea of Galilee. And the Sea of Galilee is not that big. It is only about 13 miles by 7 miles by 150 feet deep. That's all it is. It is not a gigantic piece of water, but it is also below sea level. And so what is common for that area, for the Sea of Galilee, is for these great storms to take place. And they're a sudden storm. They're not a storm that one minute it could be calm, next minute you have a storm with no warning that takes place. Now, usually these storms happen during the day. They usually do not take place at night. Usually it's during the day. So it was very common for them to expect the storms to be during the day. But they did not expect to have this type of storm in the evening. It was a sudden storm. And many times in our lives, things are going very good in our lives. There are many times in our lives that everything seems to be just working out the way we want it to work out. We think everything is just perfect and everything is just grand and wonderful. And then all of a sudden, what happens? All of a sudden, the wind picks up in our lives. And all of a sudden, this great storm takes place. The power of this storm, it's a sudden storm. There arose a great storm of wind. Have you ever had anything in your life, and I know you have because we've all been there, where your life has seemed to be turned upside down and everything's been taken around? Have you ever taken a kid for the fun of it? Now, take this in the right way. And you're just playing with them. It's not because you're angry or anything, but you take them and you kind of tip them upside down and shake them, and you're playing with them and you swing them back and forth. What happens? If they have anything in their pockets, what happens? It all comes out. And usually, what do they have in their pocket? They usually have gum wrappers with gum in it, right? And that comes out, and sometimes some worms in their pockets. Sometimes, right, Matthew? And sometimes some other little stones and other things. How many of you put your kids' clothes in the wash before? And you thought their pockets were empty. But when the washer does its thing and moves everything around, and then you take the clothes out, and you don't understand how you got a stain on your clothes in the washer. And then you find out that Rich left a crayon in his pocket. And when he left that crayon in his pocket, it got all over everybody else's clothes. What's that? It's probably a pen instead of a crayon. I've never done the pen thing ever in my life. And you have that, and that's what happens is when you get shaken, what? Everything comes out, everything turns around. There's this happen in your life. What takes place in our lives when we're going through? How many ever had where your job seems to be the most secure job, the wonderful job? You have more business, you have more work than you know what to do with. And then all of a sudden, without notice, everything switches and you're going, what's happening? What's going on? It changes. The wind blows and the storm comes in. Some of you that are younger, you don't understand this as much as some of the older folks. When you're younger, you may get sick, you may get hurt, but you usually can bounce back pretty quickly. And usually have warning that you're going to be sick or hurt because you usually cause that upon yourself. But when you get older, Lee, when you get older, many times there's no warning. One day you feel great and wonderful, and you could jump off this platform, you could do anything, right? And then the next day you can't get out of bed. How many have been there? Yes. And that wind blows, and that storm comes, and that happens in your life. Now some of you guys are laughing. You say, well, that's never going to happen to me. Do you know almost every older person in this room said the same thing when they were your age? And now look at Brother Steve. I mean, you just look at that and you see that take place and happen. The storm comes. It's sudden. But I also want you to see something. It was severe. Look at verse 37. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. It's severe. When we were children, we thought all our problems were huge. How many thought your problems as a kid? And those that are kids think you got big problems because your sister's mean to you, because your brother beat you up, because of small little things. You were outside riding a bike and you fell off and scratched your knee. And you thought that was just, the world was going to end as a child. Now as you become adults, now some of you kids say, I can't wait to become an adult. Oh, stay a kid. Because when you become an adult, you have more problems that come about, and they're more severe than you ever could imagine. How many remember when you first went into adulthood and you went in on your own, away from mom and dad and grandma, grandpa, whoever was taking care of you, whoever you lived, and you went by yourself, and all of a sudden you realized you had something called bills. And you realize you had to pay it. You couldn't go to mom and say, Mom, I'm short today. Can you take care of that for me? Oh, I can't buy the food I want at the grocery store, Mom. I want the snack. No, you got to go buy that if you want that. And life changes. But problems change and the severity changes. Most of our problems as children are not going to make a difference of life or death. They're not that big a deal. But what are some storms that you face as adults? Think about it. Some of you lost jobs before. That's a strong storm that comes. Because you're used to being able to pay your bills. You're used to be able to take care of everything. Some of you have some great jobs and had some great jobs. Then all of a sudden, usually without much notice, something changes in the company. And all of a sudden what? Your job changes. Or you don't have a job. Or something else happens and the pay goes down. And all of a sudden, the severity of that storm sets in. Some of you have had some major tragic events take place in your families, in your homes. There are some individuals that thought they had a great family. They were doing right. Everything was going good, and their child passed away. That's a great storm of severity. Some have had others pass away, and that takes place in that great severity that takes place of that storm in life. And it's severe. What does it say? It says the wind was blowing, the storm was going, and the waves were crashing over, and to the point that the ship was full of water. Now, you've been on a boat before. You know a little water sometimes gets in the boat. And that's normal. But sometimes if too much water gets into the boat, what happens? The boat sinks. Junior camp, they have the premier canoes. They're the best quality canoes you could ever find. They're the same canoes that they had 17 years ago when I first went there. That tells you. And they were old when I went there 17 years ago. So they have, some of them have a few little holes in them. And some have some other issues. And you're usually pretty good. But there are some canoe that you got to be careful of. And then what kids like to do is take the oars and what? Splash water into someone else's canoe. And the goal is to fill the canoe up. So what happens to the canoe? They sink. And then you see all the kids right down in there. Now they have life jackets because they have to wear the life jackets so they're okay. And you don't really want to swim in Donnie's Lake unless you're the girls. The girls jump in and there's all this slimy, nasty stuff and they jump into this. Caitlin led them about 2 years ago doing this and I could not believe it. Because most people, even the ranger, I was talking to her and we were sitting laughing. Because she goes, no one ever does this. And so they jump in there. And so the storm comes. and the crawly stuff all over your head. And the storm comes, and it's severe, and the water is filling over. This is the situation they're in this powerful storm. Now, where did the source come from? Where did the storm come from? What's the source? Well, it's interesting. You can study out. We understand the wind came. It could be because of nature itself. It could be, well, just what took place. Some say it could be God allowed the storm to take place to get the attention of the disciples. Some say the storm could even been caused by the devil and trying to get in and disrupt things. And in our lives, that's the same thought as well. Sometimes the storm just happens. Sometimes God puts a storm in our lives that gets our attention. Sometimes the devil puts a storm in our life to try to get us off track in what we're doing. And we could spend a whole time and debate this. Some people think it's the devil because even some of the wording that's used is similar to the wording that's used early on in the book of Mark. And we could talk about that earlier on, later at another date. But the storm came. And the source, the storm happened because of a source. What we need to do is we need to look at the storm and say, what am I supposed to learn from the storm? You know, a lot of times we put so much on, okay, where's the storm coming from? And it's okay to try to see where the storm is coming from. But the main idea is, what am I supposed to learn from the storm? What am I supposed to take from the storm? What am I supposed to get and glean from this? So we see the power of the storm. But I also want you to see the problem of the storm. Look at verse 35 and verse 38 of this. We see the power. Let's look at the problem. And the same day when the evening was come, he saith unto him, let us pass over to another side. Verse 38. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and they say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? What's the problem with the storm? They doubted God. The problem of the storm is this. They doubted God. What do? They awakened. They aroused him out of sleep. Now, I tell you, this is a clear picture of the humanity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He was asleep in the ship. What a clear picture of his humanity. I'm so glad we have a God that understands us. I'm so glad we have a God that knows us. I'm so glad, even though he was 100% God, he still went through the things that we go through. He still understands what you're struggling in your life. And he's asleep in the ship. And what takes place? The disciples who are used to being on the Sea of Galilee, who are used to being on the ship. And I understand it's dark. It's at night. They're not used to a storm at this time. But they're used to this. Yet, they doubted God. And they went and they awoke and aroused God out of sleep. And then they say something. Look at verse 38. And they said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Master, don't you care for us? Well, preacher, why would the disciples, why would these individuals ever get to this place that they would question God and say, God, don't you care for us? Why would they ever get to this place? God, well come on, God, you, why would they question God? God's the one that told them to get in the ship, right? God's the one that told them we're going to go to the other side. If God promised they were going to go to the other side, what should they have known? They were going to go to the other side. But how many of us know the promises of God? And that storm comes sudden in our lives. The waves are crashing over. The boat is sinking down. We have all the heaviness of our storm in our lives. And we start to question God. God, don't you care for me? And God says, haven't I promised you that I will never leave you nor forsake you? Haven't I promised you that I'll always be there for you? I'll carry you through. I'll help you. But what we do, we start to question God. And we say, God, don't you care for us? You say, well, preacher, I've never said that. Then you're not human. Because I believe many of us, all of us, have times in our lives when that storm gets heavy. We know what we ought to do. Every one of us know what we ought to do. But what do? We question God. God, don't you care for me? God, I thought you loved me. Why'd you let me lose my job? God, I thought you loved me. Why'd you let this tragedy happen in my home? God, I thought you loved me. Why'd you let this take place in our world today? God, I thought you loved me. And we start to question God. And we start to say, God, don't you care for me? And that's what took place here. They forgot the promise of God. They doubted his guarantee that they were going to pass over the other side. They doubted his grace. They said, we're going to perish. But they said, God, we're going to die here in the middle of this water. And God said, didn't you listen? I said, we're going to the other side. What has God promised for every believer? If you know Jesus as your Savior, this world is not your home. We're citizens here, but we're also citizens in heaven. This world is not the end all for the believer. We have something far greater. And God has promised that he will take those who have put their faith and trust in him and him alone for salvation. One day we will be with him for all of eternity. That's a promise we have. As the storms happen in this life, and I know I got heaven in mind and I'm going to spend eternity in heaven, there's some days that the storms get heavy, though. And yes, I have heaven in mind. And I know I'll spend eternity there, not because of me, but because of what Jesus done and because I put my faith in him. But the storm comes. And it's heavy. And there's a lot upon me. But I'm so glad in the midst of the storm, Jesus is right there. So I want you to see a picture here. There is a problem. They doubted God. They questioned God. But I want you to see, even in the midst of the problem, who was right there. Jesus was right there. And in the midst of your problem, if you stop looking at the waves, and you stop looking at the water, and you stop looking at all the situations that you're facing, and you just take a minute and you look. See, the thought ought to be, why are we afraid? Guess who's in the ship? Jesus is there. Oh, we're not going to perish. We have Jesus. We're not going to be overtaken by the storm because God is right there with us. And that ought to be the same thought in our minds, in our lives. But I want you to look at this also, the purpose of the storm. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there's a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? What was the purpose of the storm? They got to see the power of God once again. The purpose of this storm was to wake the disciples, to stop being fearful, and to see what, who had the power to calm the storm. You and I need to be reminded about how powerful our God is. As we're going through that storm, God is the one who is able to say, peace, be still, and calm the storm. He's the one that's able to rebuke the storm in your life. He's the one able to stop that storm. He has the power. Now, you go through the storm for a reason, for a purpose. But God's in control of the storm. You know, and I know this truth, nothing is going to happen that God has not allowed in our lives. And nothing is going to take place in our lives that God can't help you through with his help and his strength. There's nothing going to happen in your lives that is to harm you. It's to help you. It's to grow you. It's to mature you. You see, the storms that we go through, we look at it this way. Oh, it's trying to get even at me. It's trying to... No, the storms are there to help us, to grow us, to mature us to what God wants us to be. The storms are there to be a blessing, not a curse. And many times we look at the storms that we face in life. We look at the tragedies we've gone through. And we're like, oh, this is just a curse upon us. No, it's a blessing. I don't see the blessing, preacher. You got to look at Jesus and you find the blessing. Because as you look through the storm, as you look through this, you'll see God. And you'll see his power through this. And the Lord we serve still has the same power today to calm any storm in your life. He can say, peace be still. And you still could be on the water. You could still be in the midst of the Sea of Galilee. But also in a calmness will come. You could be in the middle of your event in your life, your storm. And you trust God. He has the power to say, peace be still. And you still may be going through the storm. You may be still on the water in your life. But now it's calm. You ever gone through a trial, a storm in your life, and you felt like you were going to sink, and then you finally turned back to God and started trusting him, and God said, peace be still, and you're still going through it and finishing through it, but all of a sudden there's a calmness in your life. There's a peace in your life, because that's what God can do to any storm in your life. He said, peace be still, and the storm is calm. Look a little further as we look at this. I want us to see this. He rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And then he said this, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? You know another purpose of the storm? Sometimes to challenge our faith. You know, many times we say, I got such great faith. Oh, man, I live by faith every day of my life, as long as I can see it. What is faith? Faith is believing God, trusting God, no matter if we understand it, can see it, or know what's going to happen. It is putting our faith in him. It's not a blind faith. It's faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting him, but not worrying about if we understand everything. When we're going through that storm, our faith is challenged. How many of you gone through some storms and you say, God, you don't care about me? And then you get to a place you're so fearful, you're scared to death, that you start to doubt God. And what does God say to the disciples? Why are you so fearful? Why do you lack faith, have no faith? You remember, you saw what I did. You saw some of the miracles that I performed. You saw some of the great things that have taken place. You saw the multitudes that gotten saved. You saw what has happened. You saw life's change. And right after this event, they go to the island, and this is where the crazy man is. And this is going to take place. But you've seen all that's happened. You've seen all that's taken place. Why don't you have faith? Same question to ourselves this morning. Myself included, all of us. You and I can testify how God has taken care of, how God has done things in the past in your storms of life. You and I can testify how God's taken care of it. You've heard stories of your parents and your grandparents of what God's done. You've heard stories of other church members. You've heard stories of other individuals and believers you've known, and you've heard about how God's done this. So why, when we go through a storm, even though we know what God can do and what God has done, why do we, when we go through the storm, lack faith? Why do we lack faith? It's an indication of our relationship with God. You say, well, preacher, these were disciples. They left their fishing boats and they followed Jesus. They went through and they did all these things. Let me tell you, many times in our lives we've done a lot of things for God. But what happens sometimes is we're so concerned on the external, we forget about the internal. And as busy as we are doing the work of the ministry, as busy as we are doing God's work, the internal, that relationship, isn't what it ought to be. Because if I'm truly close to God, and we're talking about this on Wednesday nights, about how to truly know God, not just know God in regard to salvation, but having a deep, intimate relationship with God, and how we go through our lives and we're shallow in our Christianity. And when the storm comes, I have no faith. Now, I have faith in salvation. I'm not questioning salvation. But when the storm comes, I have no faith to trust God that God can take care of the storm. That's why people get bitter when a storm comes. That's why people get angry when a storm comes. Because they have no faith that God is in control. They have no faith because their relationship has not been what it ought to be. They're saved by the blood of the Lamb, but they're not fellowshipping with God as they should. And they are a shallow Christianity. And the storm comes and there's a lack of faith. It says, so what was the purpose of the storm? It was them to see his power. It was them to understand that they needed a better relationship, fellowship with God. Their faith was weak. But the purpose of the storm was also them to see the promises of God are true. Because God already told them he was going to take them through. And they feared exceedingly and said one another, what manner of man is this? Even the wind and the sea obey him. They also saw that God was in ultimate control. What was the purpose of the storm? The ultimate purpose of the storm was for them to see God afresh and new. You know what the ultimate purpose of your storm in my life? Is for us to see God fresh and anew. Oh, they knew who God was. They knew he was the creator. They knew he healed. They knew he did all this. They shouldn't even questioned or thought about what God was doing. They shouldn't even been astounded that the wind and sea would obey him. Because they knew that this was Jesus, but he was still 100% God, 100% man. They knew who he was. But what happens in our storm? We forget who is with us. Oh, we know he's there, but we forget who he is. Some of us say, oh, I know God's with me. I know Jesus is with me. I know he's in the midst of the storm. But we forget just who he truly is. Maybe for a moment they thought something else. They thought, well, maybe this isn't. Sometimes in our lives we go through the storms and we start to say, well, maybe God isn't truly who I think God is. No, God is who the Bible says God is. And even the wind and the sea obeyed him. And do you know, even the devil himself has to listen to God and get permission from God. Nobody is more powerful than our Creator and our Savior, our God. Get a fresh and new look at God this morning. You're going through that storm of life. The sea is coming upon you. The waves are crashing. The boat's sinking. You're fearful. You're crying. You don't know what to do. Look to Jesus. You know, it's interesting. Where do they find Jesus? The hinder part of the boat, but what? Asleep. The storm didn't bother them. We get a fresh new look of our God. We go through that storm for a reason, for a purpose, but it shouldn't bother us because God is in control. And God is there to help us through the storm that we're facing. After they got to the other side, after they went, then they went to the island, they went to the crazy man. I wonder if they questioned God then. I don't think they did. But as you go on, as you look at the disciples' life, there's times again they started to question God. What you and I need to do in our lives, we need to develop that strong fellowship with God so we have faith. But we need to remind ourselves on a regular basis who God is and what God has done in our lives. Let's never lose sight of what God has done. First, what has God done in your life? One, if you're saved this morning, He has saved you. You have not saved yourself. A church has not saved you. Your salvation is only found in Jesus Christ. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by Him. The only way of salvation is through Jesus Christ. He had to come. He had to die. He had to shed His blood. He had to rise again the third day to offer the only way of salvation. And the Bible says that we must turn to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith and put our faith and trust in Him and Him alone for salvation and call upon Him, and He will save us. But also, how does God help us? How is God there for us? He's our Savior, but He is also there no matter what storm. And when the storms come, you and I can always turn to Him. I hate to say it again, but today you may not be in a storm, but tomorrow may be a storm. You might be in a storm today. Next week the storm could end, but then another storm could begin. It's interesting with the Sea of Galilee and those storms. They come on sudden, then they stop, but then they can come back at any time again. The same in our lives. And I'm glad our lives are not always easy. Because if our lives were easy, we would never be tested and we would never grow the way we ought to grow. Let me end with this. How many have ever met a spoiled, and I don't want to use the word, B word, the brat word, but have you met a spoiled kid before? What makes a spoiled kid? What makes a kid, now there's a difference between a kid that has a lot and a kid that's spoiled. There's two different, there is different. A spoiled kid is one who is everything that's given to them, and they never had to deal with any problems. Now, as a parent, sometimes we struggle with this because we don't want our kids to have to go through some of the things we faced in life. And so what do? We try to protect them from everything. And we try to make sure they have everything. But what happens if they never have to go through stuff themselves? They never go through anything. When they get to adulthood and they're thrown out into the sea, and they've never been trained, they've never been taught, they've been always mom and dad spoon feeding them throughout their whole lives. What happens? Well, you met some of those today in our day and age called adults now, that you wonder what happened. That's what happened. But let me ask you, what about the kid that mom and dad was still the parent, mom and dad still helped take care of things to a point, but they let the kids go through some of the storms and didn't give the kids everything in their lives? today, some of those kids are the most hardest working individuals. They're the most successful. They're the most involved in other things. Why? Because they're not to the point that they take everything for granted and they're where they're entitled to everything. We have a generation today that feels entitled to everything. But let's relate it to our life spiritually for a minute. If we didn't go through the storms, I believe many of us would get an entitlement mentality, spiritually speaking. Let us be reminded, you and I don't deserve our salvation. We don't deserve the grace God gives us each and every day of our lives. We don't deserve God's strength, God's power, God's help. We don't deserve God. We're not entitled. But I'm so glad that we have those things. And let us never take it for granted in our lives. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you that you are such a great and awesome God. And Lord, we do thank you for the storms that we go through. And we thank you even in those storms, we can find the hope and help that we need. Lord, help us to work on a relationship, fellowship with you. Help us grow closer to you. Help us to just rely upon you. You know the storms we're facing. You know the storms we're going to face. Lord, we just ask for your help. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking about. Go ahead and stand with me. Pianist is going to play for a minute.